2, then Luke, and then finally John. John being written probably while John was on the Isle of Patmos around 90 AD, give or take, toward the end of the first century. We don't have the originals of any of that. What we do have is thousands upon thousands of copies all over the Mediterranean basin, some of them rather old, some of them fairly young, within 400 years of each other. The majority of those contain the phrase, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." They tend to be, but are not exclusively, younger ones. Scholars have devised a means of coming up with which was the original or not based on those copies. But you will find things in your notes of your Bibles, such as in the note of this Bible of mine that the church so graciously gave me upon my arrival, at the end of verse 13. Other ancient authorities add, in some form, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and forever and ever. Amen." Sound familiar? Not all scholars agree with how that determination was made of which was original and which was not. And let me be very clear here. We're not talking about major portions of the New Testament. 90 to 95%, we are as certain as we can be, we know what the original said. But this is one of those places we're not. This phrase at the end of the Lord's Prayer. There are some denominations that don't have that phrase at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Some of you have pointed that out to me as we have been preaching on the Lord's Prayer. And that's true. And as I've been, since it was pointed out to me, in some of those worship services and some of those denominations, I have noticed that frequently afterwards, they'd have a little bit of break. They'd end the Lord's Prayer with, "Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." They would say something else in the prayer, and then they would get to something very similar to, no, not exactly, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Very similar, just separate a little bit. And as we said, most of the older manuscripts do not have it. But there are some notable exceptions. The Didache, which was an ancient prayer and worship book that dates almost as old as the Gospel of John, the latter part of the first century. It was written when they had only 2 digits in the years. Okay? It tells us, and it's where the early church got the idea, to tell or to pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day, and guess which version it has? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." It at least goes back into the first century. Now, what's going on here? I'll admit this is only one person's opinion. There are people that agree with me. But that's all it is. You need to understand that. In the Gospels, Jesus gives this prayer at least twice, and the occasions that he does it are very different. In Matthew, it's in the middle of his big teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it is in response to a question from his disciples who are so moved by the way Jesus has prayed, they ask the question, "Teach us how to pray." What they're saying basically is, we don't have a freaking clue how to pray, and would you help us out here? And he gives them a version. They're different. I wouldn't say they're very different, but they're different. They're not exactly the same. The ancient Jews were not like us. And Jesus was a Jew first, and he was speaking to Jews predominantly. We want everything to be said exactly the same way every time. We get that from our ancestors, the Greeks. It's been with us from them. The Jews weren't hung up that way. They just wanted to have the gist of it. And we have that phrase, do we not? Well, I'll give you the gist of it. The exact wording I may not have, but this is the gist of what was said. We have that phrase, do we not? And the Jews use that phrase frequently. That's why there's some differences between Matthew and Mark and Luke. Luke was written by a Greek. Guess what? He's a little more concerned about getting everything chronologically in the right order, about getting everything. And Matthew is all different, and Mark is all different. And they don't even line up chronologically. If you want to just break it down, they don't do that. Tamara made a comment to me before the worship started that she had a chronological study Bible. And she said that put things in a whole different perspective. We have two times that Jesus gives us the prayer that we have written down. We know from the Gospel of John that there are many other phrases, many other sayings of Jesus that we don't have written down. I suspect that the Didache is picking up on one of those other times that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, and he included this very familiar Jewish doxology to the end of his prayer. I can't prove that. I can't go there with 100% certainty, but that's what I believe. And I've come to that conclusion with some consternation, because I want everything to be lined out nice and clean, and it's just not that way in this case. But I believe that it is good to pray, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen, because it's found in other places in the Scripture. And if it's found in other places in the Scripture, then it's got to be okay. But what does it mean for us individually? What difference does it make that we say the prayer, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen? You've heard the phrase that we should put feet to our own prayers. If you haven't, you're hearing it today. We should be willing to give God enough credit that what we're asking for him to do, that he might use us to do, to accomplish. The kingdom of God is wherever God's commands are obeyed, where Jesus is glorified, and those two things are done in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom of God exists. We work and pray for the day in which the kingdom is fully operational right here on this planet. Now, that would be a vast change, would it not? That would be different. Well, how do we do that? How do we work for that kingdom? How do we want him to do or use us to do the establishment of that kingdom? One of the ways that I have found it helpful, and if I can have a couple of ushers to help me here, is to pray for those, thank you, Don, if you would make certain that everybody gets one. Pray for those who need, I'm trying to word this exactly the way I want to. I'm not trying to be Jewish for a moment. To pray for those who we hope we're wrong, but we believe may need to be closer to Jesus. Maybe they haven't made a first-time commitment to Jesus that we know of. Maybe they have wandered far astray. Maybe they've just wandered a little bit. I have a friend who told me his wife looked at him one time and said, "Hayden, you've never gone to the far country, but you've been to the county line many times." You get what she was trying to tell him. Pray for one person. This is just a little memory device, that's all it is. At 1 p.m. every day for 1 minute. Just a little memory device. You'll see these again. You need some more? Okay. As we get ready for Easter and what we know will be some folks visiting, I want to encourage you to pray for someone that you would like to see here. Maybe they haven't been to church in years. Let me brag a little bit on our younger adult class. And you know, they're kind of showing us the way with this. They've been asking people who they know haven't been to church in years. And guess what? Some of them are coming. Well, praise be to Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass anybody, but that's what they've been doing. You and I, we kind of look back and we say, oh, that person made up their mind a long time ago they were going to come to church, and we've given up on them. What right do we have to give up on people? Has God given up on them? Not until the trump sounds, folks. And that's not now. Start by praying. Now, you may find, as I have found, that when you pray for someone this way, that God begins to work first on your heart. Isn't that funny? On your heart to be ready and to be used by Him to talk to God, or talk to that person about God and about faith in Christ and about coming to church and about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the other thing is this. As we get ready, because we know it's going to happen, we're going to have visitors here. Probably Palm Sunday, a lot on Easter, and then some the week after Easter. Remember when we taught y'all the 5-10 link rule? You may remember something about it, but you may not remember all that. First 5 minutes of any worship service, 10 feet in front of from you, anybody within 10 feet, link them with somebody that you know. You come up and you say, "Hello, my name is Brad Reeves." Go ahead. Thank you. And that's normally what they say. They will say their name back to you. And you talk to them a little bit. And you say, and you find out, I'm going to pretend here for a minute, okay, Connie? That she works for Southwest Airlines. I realize nobody in Deming works for Southwest Airlines. That's why I'm picking on them. She works for Southwest Airlines. But you know that Don over here, and I know this is not true, so just bear with me, that Don over here used to work for Southwest Airlines. That's not true, but let's pretend that it was. And so you link them, Connie, I want you to meet somebody who used to work for Southwest Airlines, and you link them with them, and you get them more acquainted. And we've talked some more, and we will talk again at another time, what to do when you forget their name. For instance, you're going over here, and you've forgotten their name. You've forgotten Connie's name, and God help me if this should ever happen, and you forgot Don's name. What do? You'll say, have you two ever met each other? And then they introduce each other and they remind you of their names. I mean, it's just a trick, if you will, or a way of knowing how to interact with people. It's not really a trick in the sense of being negative, but it's a way of interacting with people. And we'll talk some more about this when we get a little closer. But I want you to start by praying for someone. It doesn't have to be just one, but at least one. Actually, I have a couple in mind. That they would be here on one of those three Sundays, probably Easter. Now, Easter Sunday, y'all are going to be given the opportunity to not have an excuse to only go to one service. You say, now, wait a minute. I don't want to hear your sermon twice. You won't. The first service, you'll hear me preach. The second service will be the choir with a cantata. So you'll get it by word and you'll get it by song. I encourage you to come to everything. And if you come to the sunrise service, then that will be a different sermon altogether. So I'm just telling you, there's no excuse to just come to one. It won't be the same. I realize some of you are just going to come to one. I get that. But nevertheless, let's be ready to advance the kingdom, to put feet to our prayers. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever and ever, amen. And let us remember to do so by being obedient to God, by giving glory to Jesus, and by doing both in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning, as we prepare to, we're going to be honest, as we prepare to go eat pancakes, my wife has been preparing this for at least a week. I want to invite you to respond in whatever way the Holy Spirit is prompting you. For some of you, it will be, I'm going to take this card and I'm going to use it. For some of you, it will be, I need to be closer to Jesus myself before I start inviting other people. Years ago, I would go to a retreat held in First Methodist in Plainview, Texas. It was a youth retreat. At the time, I was a youth director. I'm really dating myself now. And the first night, you know what happened? None of the youth would come down to the altar. But the youth directors were there in mass. Why? Because we had to get right with Jesus before we could lead the youth to be closer to Jesus. We had to be closer to Him before we could lead others to be closer to Him. Maybe that's where you are today. You hear the call. You know we're supposed to invite, but you don't feel worthy of inviting. Then let's talk to God and get worthy. Don't let that go with just that. Or you may wish to come and join this church in any way which we take members. Feel free to come. As we sing our final song, if you would like for somebody to pray for you, you can pray at the altar. You don't have to come to the altar. There's nothing special about that other than it's a place where many have met God. Many have talked with God. And in that sense, it's special. If you want somebody to pray with you, put your hand in a cup shape, and that'll be our sign to either pray with you ourselves or to get someone to pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, put your hand in a normal, uplifted prayer position, and we'll know to let you pray by yourself. As we sing our final song this morning, we will glorify. Amen. We will glorify. Let us stand as we sing. Feel free to come. God is calling you. Do not be hesitant. Come to Him. Will you receive the benediction? And we will pray after the benediction. We will pray for the food here so we don't have to worry about that when we go in there. Go forth in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory, being obedient to God the Father, and being both in the power, the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. And now, God, we ask that You would bless the food that we are going to partake in. We ask that You would bless the missions that the Mission Committee leads us in. And may we give glory to You in all things. Amen.